Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, everyone. This is the Mike and Abe Show coming to you from the United States of America. And Mike, I'm Abe, by the way. I'm Abe. And Mike, you said you had something you wanted to rant about.
I always have something about want to rant about, but now it's not so much a rant as it is just a factual thing where the here's the thing. For the folks at home who don't know anything about how the cabs are dispatched, especially at Kennedy Airport, first of all, LaGuardia Airport, they said they were going to remodel the airport, when in essence they basically just knocked it down in the front of the terminals. So it's a complete mess over there. So that's another topic for another show. Mm-hmm. But out at Kennedy Airport, the dispatching, well, what we have is a big lot for cabs. There's usually about 500 cabs waiting in a main, let's say, bullpen for taxi dispatching. Then we drive to the terminals after being dispatched by those dispatchers. And when we get to the terminals, invariably what happens is there's some, like, post-college or college kid who has this dispatcher job that they've gotten from some vendor who won a contract from the Port Authority. It's not working with the Port Authority anymore. It's some bid, and then you get a contract, and blah, blah. So anyway, the dispatcher at the terminal calls, let's say, for 30 cabs. And they always like to have cabs sitting in front of the terminals. So, in my opinion, a lot of them do it just so they can goof off. I mean, sometimes they call for cabs because they need it because there's a lot of customers. But basically, it's been overbooking cabs in front of the terminals after they leave the main cab lot to allow the dispatchers sitting in the booth at the terminal to goof off and text. And it's gotten to the point where I will wait, let's say, 25, 30 minutes in the big lot, which is acceptable because for Kennedy Airport because it's a big job. But then when you get to the terminals, you're waiting for another half hour or 45 minutes just sitting there with no people. I mean, that happened to me last night. I was sitting there for a half an hour, and I asked the girl, I said, well, excuse me, I'm knocking on the glass. And she's, of course, she's on the phone texting her friends and what have you. And there's about 25 or 30 cabs who have just gotten screwed out of about, I'll say, 45 minutes of driving on a Saturday night, and it's horrible because you can't get that money back. I mean, that one dispatcher, for her or his own convenience, overbooks cabs at the terminal from the main lot, and this is happening on a regular basis. And I'm just, I got to really dig in and find out who's in charge of that, because invariably you're arguing with either a college kid. Or I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt and saying they're a college kid, so I don't even know if they're in college. But they've never driven cabs. They probably have no desire to drive a cab. And then there's another guy I had an argument with the nasty attitude. You get the point now where the passengers coming out of the terminals at JFK don't even want to talk to some of these taxi dispatchers because they're so nasty, and it's a service business. Now, these people are probably thinking that we hire the taxi dispatchers, which we do not. And I just like to tell the passengers, don't blame us, because they probably think it's our hire or our people running the cab show, and it's not. It's some vendor who won a bid from the Port Authority who runs the airport. And that's another thing. Why do we need the Port Authority? And we have two airports in Queens. I'm mystified why we still need that pirate ship, in my opinion. Anyway.
Okay, you done?
Not really, but I guess I have to.
Well, let me just say this. Moral of the story, don't work the airports on a Saturday night.
No, it was busy. That's why I was out there.
Well, that's
busy.
Because it was Thanksgiving weekend, you know. But generally speaking, people aren't flying on Saturday night. They're usually where they want to be on a Saturday night.
Well, this is the other thing that ticked me off, because you're right. It was busy in the city, obviously, on a November Saturday night. But the reason I went back to Kennedy is because there were no cabs there. It was just like maybe 10% of the lot was filled, and I could have gotten out of any other terminal, 1, 2, 3. And because the one dispatcher wants to sit and text, I couldn't get out, because that's the way I work. I'm not going to given the choice of having one fare from Kennedy Airport or five fares from New York City on a Saturday night with crazy people, I'm going to take the one fare from Kennedy Airport. That's the way I work. That's the logical way to work.
Well, basically, what is wrong here is they shouldn't send you to the terminal without the need for the taxis yet. Okay.
Correct.
They should, you know,
Yeah.
they should keep you in the main lot and only dispatch taxis where they're needed at that moment.
That's what I thought. They used to do that for
Yeah.
a long time.
Yeah.
But now, speaking frankly, in my opinion, they got more than a few smart-ass kids doing this dispatcher gig. And their winning formula is that they overbook the cabs, and they have plenty of cabs sitting in front of their little booth. Then they don't have to do anything for an hour, and they're getting paid one way or the other. I know. I mean, I was young once myself. I know
Yeah.
what the mental process is.
They're improperly trained.
Well, I mean,
Okay.
not only improperly trained, but where do they get these kids from? I mean, at what point? Why isn't there some outcry? Like back in the days, you had to have taxi driving experience to be a dispatcher at Kennedy Airport or at LaGuardia Airport. That was like a prerequisite that you had to have a hack license, and then they got away from that. And I'm just wondering, why did they get away from that? I mean,
Yeah.
who is running the show at JFK? Everything is this weird privatized deal as opposed to working for the airport. That's a big part of it. And I'm going to look into that because it's gotten to be epidemic in proportions. And the other thing is, last thing I'm going to rant. I'm sorry, I know it's your show.
No, rant,
You know,
rant,
and
rant all you want. I have nothing to rant about right now.
Well, I don't want to say rant as much as I you know, because a rant kind of like dismisses the texture of my conversation. But anyway, I'm going to rant about this. What do you call it? I had another affair where a lady gets in. I mean, it's funny in retrospect because like it happened at Costello Routine. She
Right.
gets in. I think she was like I don't know where she's from, like from Mars or something. She gets in with her husband. And her husband's a nice guy, but she seems like a shall we say a killer bee.
Okay.
So she gets in and she goes, "Yes, we're going to Port Washington." I said, "To where?" She goes, "Oh, to Washington." I heard Port Washington. She goes, "How much is it going to cost to go to Washington?" I said, "Well, you got to take the bridge up to up there, and then there's a toll." She goes, "Marty will be the toll. I never pay a toll." I said, "What's it? You're going to Fort Washington?" No, not Fort Washington. I said Port Washington.
Oh, Port Washington.
All right.
That's in Long Island. That's way out there.
Well, listen. So I get in the car, and the dispatcher goes, "What's the problem?" Like straight hood dispatcher. I don't care. That's cool.
Yeah.
"What's the problem?" I said, "Listen, you shouldn't be looking at the book for this. You're going to Port Washington." I said, "How much does it cost to go to Port Washington?" He goes, you're supposed to run the meter on that." I said, "No, I'm supposed to run the meter." So the dispatcher doesn't know the rate.
Right.
All right? This is what's happening. So I said, "First of all, I have to ask the lady. I'm also at the head to the city because she's saying Port Washington. I thought she said Fort Washington." So she goes, "How much is that?" I said, "Well, it's going to be like around 60. She goes, I said, "What do you usually pay?" She goes, "Like 65. So right there, I'm thinking it's the same thing because he says she usually pays 65.
Port Washington. Hold on, Mike. Hold on a second. Port Washington is like the end of Long Island.
I know. Listen, let me tell the story.
Yeah.
My story. Like,
right, okay.
So she goes, "I'm going to Port Washington." I said, "So I do this." I said, "You're not supposed to look at the book. You're supposed to know that." I said, "Listen, I have to look at the book to see the mileage because it costs the meter to the city line. Then after the meter is double," she goes, "What do you mean double? It's the same. It's still in New York. It's not double. What do you?" And so he goes, "You got to move the car. Move the car." I said, "Listen, I have to find out what's going on." He goes, and then he goes to me, the dispatcher, goes, "I don't like the way you're talking to me." I said, "I don't like the way you're talking to me. What do you mean I don't like the way you're talking to me? Like, you haven't told this woman the price yet." So he said, "All right, get out of here." So I'm running away. She goes, "If it's too much, y'all just take another car." This is as I'm like 200 feet away from the terminal. She goes, "If it costs too much, I'll just take another car. It's $65. I said, "Listen, miss, there are different taxi companies in different cities. They so apparently the Port Washington cab company is working for free." And so I looked at the book, and the book said just from Kennedy to Port Washington, 25 miles. I was like, "Wow, it's 25
okay.
miles.
Okay, I was thinking of Port Jefferson, by the way, not Port Washington.
No.
Okay,
yeah.
Port Washington. Port Washington is in Nassau County.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, we're pulling away from the airport, and so I had my GPS, as fate would have it, was dead. So I had the regular maps, like the old school maps.
Right.
So I go to the husband. I go, "Do you know where you're going? I mean, do you know how to get there?" He goes, "Yes, I know how to get there." Whenever you hear somebody say that in the cab, you're screwed. Whenever somebody in the cab says, "I know how to go, just don't worry about it, I know how to go." And all of a sudden, it's like, great. So me, trusting me, I said, "So what do we do?" He goes, What do you mean? I said, what do we do? I said, so I have the map, but you have your GPS. I know how to get there when we're in the town. I don't know how to get there to the town. I said, oh, man. So I head east on the Belt Parkway and blah, blah, blah. Then she calls her daughter. She goes, how do you get to Port Washington? And the daughter's like, we got to take the Long Island Expressway. It's like, listen, we're at Kennedy Airport. We're not at LaGuardia. Blah, 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 blah. So now they got the dispatcher calling me a criminal. They got the daughter on the phone. The mother's on the phone. I said, listen, what are we doing here? I said, just tell me whatever you want to pay, and that's it. And all of a sudden they froze like, why? What do you mean? I said, just pay me whatever you want to pay. I just want to drop you off, and that's it. And I said, and please, sir, if you could look it up on the GPS, instead of me pulling over and looking at a physical map, which is still legal, all right, because that's all I'm required to carry in the cab is a physical map. And he goes, all right, I'll look it up. So he looks it up, and he's telling me east when it's west. He's telling me north when it's south. He's telling me the wrong exit. So I finally muddle through with common sense. He goes, you know what? And his wife goes, you know what? Leave me off here. I don't care. I'm going to call Uber. I said, you got to call Uber. I said, if I leave you up here, you're going to be in the middle of the woods, and it's 40 degrees. She goes, I don't get it. And the husband's like, listen, just go a little bit more. So I went back on track, finally got out there to Port Washington. So it turns out it was a straight shot off the Long Island Expressway. You get off at whatever exit, and then you take Plan Dome Road, and you drive, and you drive having to go 23 miles an hour because there's, like, the local yokels will write you up a ticket in 2 seconds. And it's left, right, straight, stop, go. But, and I finally dawned on me, and I showed the guy on the rate card. I mean, she gave me, like nothing. I got, like, 65 or 70. She gave me $70, mm-hmm. you know. And at the end, I was figuring out. I said, let me run this odometer thing on the way back to see how many miles it is to the city line versus Kennedy. So, of course, at double the rate to the city line to Port Washington, it would have been $75. On top of whatever he leave. So it was a $100 job, okay? But the fact of the matter is, it jumps again to this dispatcher who's yelling at me, and I was like, well, and I asked the lady, I said, did you ask the dispatcher? He goes, I didn't ask him. I said, why didn't you ask the dispatcher? He's standing right there, how much the price? He goes, I want to ask you. So apparently these passengers, they're so surly and mean, these loser dispatchers that apparently they're hiring now. Mm-hmm. And not all of them, but a lot of them, that the passengers don't even want to ask them for information. I mean, they pretty much put their mean face on, their mean leave-me-alone face, and the passengers want no interaction with the taxi dispatcher, who's supposed to know everything told. So she gets into the cab, and then on the way back, I asked some, ironically, it was another cabbie, stopped at a line and said, hey, how much does it go to Kennedy? And he goes, $60. I was like, what is it with these guys working for free? I was like, and he had a passenger, I was like, $60. I'm like, yeah, well, look like, what, are you freaking crazy? So it's not $60. It's probably around $90 if you run the meter. And that's another way to the taxi commission, bro, because I don't know why we have to physically punch the meter where it clicks in double, because I've always had problems selling that to passengers. When you say, all right, when you get to the city line, it's going to be double the meter. What do you mean double? And then it's like, and time after time after time, the dispatcher at the terminal says nothing. So I think it's I got to call. I don't know who I'm going to call, the Port Authority or the taxi dispatcher, because the taxi dispatcher company is probably just trying to find the cheapest worker they can get to fulfill the obligation of their contract. That's what that is. And the Port Authority and the cabbies and the passengers, we're trying to get a taxi dispatcher, maybe who drove a cab for 5 minutes. Is that too much to ask? But that was a complete mess. But I mean, I dragged that out of the fire. But I know I got screwed in like 30.
Okay, stop. Stop.
Stop.
Question. Why don't you have a GPS in your car?
I have a GPS. It was dead. I mean,
it was dead? Battery. Why don't you have one that's live?
No, I'm going to get one. Trust me. I'm going to invest that money to get one. Besides, the requirements
because,
of the taxi
because the
says you don't need one.
The GPS, you know, would have eliminated all of this problem.
He had a GPS. Before we left, I said, look, do you have a GPS? Yes, I have a GPS.
Yeah, but you need a GPS. The driver should have a GPS.
But you know what it is? So you're right. This is all my fault. I should
no,
have
it's
been,
not
you
only
know,
your
all
fault,
my fault.
But it could have been avoided if you had a GPS in the car.
No, it wouldn't have been avoided because she was trying to chisel me on the fare.
Yeah, but at least
and the dispatcher knew what he was doing.
But,
that's
but,
the context
at least,
of the story.
For, at least she could have given you the address to put into the GPS.
I had maps, dude. I had very detailed print maps. All right? I mean, I had physical maps that showed the whole route. And if I'm asking the guy, do you have a GPS, instead of me looking at the physical printed mat, he goes, yes. So it's his phone, he has a GPS, and I could have easily pulled over and looked it up on my hard copy map, no problem, because I have detailed hard copy maps of Long Island. So the point of the story is not me not having a GPS.
No, that's not the point of the story. It's not the point.
We don't know what they're doing.
Well, I understand that they don't know what they're doing, but you don't need to have them know what they're doing if you have a GPS.
Well, I have a GPS, but the battery's dead. All right.
Why is the battery dead?
I mean, you're dismissing the core of the story.
Why is the battery dead? Why is the battery dead? Don't you have a cigarette lighter?
Batteries go dead. Dude, this is not the point of the story of a dead battery GPS. The point of the story is I have maps, and I could have looked at the map. It was right there on the map, hard copy map.
Okay.
I have this huge 40-page glossy book that would have taken me there, and then I have a detailed map of Long Island that would show me exactly where they're going. I didn't need a GPS because sometimes the screen on the GPS is also teeny tiny. All right, so the map is larger. And I like having a large map to see where I'm going.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you that if you have a nice big screen GPS in your car that you never have to worry about finding an address or looking at a map. I'm not going to tell you that.
So I'm going to get my GPS up and running. But it's not the idea of my tale of woe.
Your
the
tale of woe is that you got no respect nor help from the dispatcher or the passenger.
Or the daughter on the phone that she called.
Right. And my point is that you could have avoided all of that with a working GPS. The only thing you might have had an argument about or a disagreement about was the amount she should pay.
No, it wouldn't have avoided all that. It would have, it would help, probably help. But at the same time, the point is, this guy, this dispatcher throws them in the cab, doesn't tell them anything about the rate. And then as I'm rolling away from the terminal, which is very difficult to bring them back, she starts pitching me about some $65 cab ride for Port Washington. It was a whole bunch of stuff emanating from the fact that the dispatcher at that terminal should have told them the fare. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Okay,
it's not a GPS story.
Okay,
it's
so
a dispatcher story.
Let's get to the end of the story. You eventually got her there. And then the payment part came up, and you said, pay me whatever you want.
I said, pay me whatever you want when the meter was at $35, because I turned off the meter about halfway there, because her husband kept feeding me wrong information, and I didn't want to pull over on the highway and start looking at my map, because eventually he got the hang of it and was able to get in touch with the GPS. And let me tell you something else about this wonderful GPS, okay, which shows you shortcuts, and it's green line if it's good and it's red line if it's bad. Here's what's happening with the GPS. Since you're like a groupie for the GPS technology.
I'm not a groupie for it. All I can tell you is that when I use it, and I'm here in Florida, okay, where I don't know where anything is, and I find a lot of addresses without any problem. With the GPS.
Okay. Well, do you use a physical map?
Never.
You never use a physical map?
I don't need to.
So what happens if there's plan B, plan C on the way there? You just keep dialing in information?
There's a link on the GPS that says detour. Okay, sometimes when I drove, the last time I drove back from New York to Florida, I ran into a few traffic jams on 95, okay, especially around D.C., and I punched in detour, and it took me out on U.S. 1, and I avoided all the traffic, and all GPSs have that, if you know how to use the GPS.
Right. Well, rather than do it on the show, then I'll have like a full-blown anxiety attack. Where the GPS would have come in handy then, okay, with this Mensa member dispatcher who didn't know anything, what I could have done, alluding to you, I will get this GPS. I'm going to go on and get a used Garmin, because Garmin is great. I will get a used GPS.
Yeah, yes. Garmin is
now,
the best.
What I could... Garmin is... I love Garmin.
Yeah.
That's the one I had. I
gave you that Garmin, remember?
I know. That was great.
Yeah.
Now, listen. Now, what the Garmin could have done is you could have showed the people how much it's going to cost to the city line. Then you could have shown the people how much it's going to cost from the city line to Port Washington. You get what I'm saying? So you could have told the people, say, listen, from here to here, it's the regular rate. It's like $15, $17. But then that extra 15 miles is going to be $5 a mile, which is what double the meter is. So it's going to be $90. And then if she would have said, oh, $90, I would have said, listen, sweetheart, I'll tell you what, I'm going to bring you back for free. That's what I'm going to do, you know? And I'll tell you something else. When I got there, it didn't make me feel any better. As I'm passing by, I'm seeing yachts in their berths. I'm seeing Gold Coast Maserati. She goes, it's turned here at the car. It's like Gold Coast Maserati. I'm passing yachts in their berths, mansions, blah, blah, blah. And she's chiseling me for what amount? Probably to like $20. It's like a fight to the death for $20. But I guess in the old country, that's the way they roll. You throw a knife in the middle of the floor for $20.
Okay, Mike. Unbelievable. Let's go to the next topic.
No!
I've heard enough of this story.
I would have cranked on this for freaking 3 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. But actually, at the end, you know, it was like the dog came running out. Said, hello,
so listen, Thanksgiving weekend, how much did you work this weekend?
The other guy had the cab. He worked. He did a double on Thanksgiving. He did a double on Friday, and he gave me the car back yesterday morning. So I didn't work that much. But he said Thanksgiving was okay, but Friday was a little soft.
Yeah,
so,
well, you know, Thanksgiving weekend is notoriously slow because everybody goes out of town, especially all the Manhattanites. I mean, if you could work your way around in the boroughs, you get a lot of business. Okay.
Well, that's the irony. It's like every time I would. Jump over the bridge to go to Kennedy. Now, in my slim defense of going to Kennedy, I do run local on the streets heading to Kennedy. Like, I take Queens Boulevard out, and there's always someone going towards Kennedy Airport, way, shape, or form. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I do work in the outer boroughs. But it looks like the green cars are picking up. I see more green cars on the road. I see more green cars getting business on the road. And the big loser is going to be these goofballs from Uber. I see Uber guys are hustling Kennedy Airport and LaGuardia like crazy.
And they still haven't
their little scheme is drying up.
The authorities still haven't put the stop on them.
Well, I'll tell you what happened is I wonder if there's some sinister thing here where the TLC is getting these sob stories about. Listen, there's no business. You get to let these guys steal. I mean, I don't know if that's the case, but it almost seems like they're keeping their hands off to let them make a few bucks on the sly because their business is so horrible now.
Well, how about we just let them make no money because there is no business for them and get them back in the yellows where there is business for them?
Right. This is what I'm saying. We've always had this conversation with some guys just don't want to drive a yellow cab because I think these are the guys who like to steal, and we run a tight ship in the yellow cab. There's not that much BS going on. And and the other thing is, I know out of Kennedy Airport, they're cracking down on the fake Uber guys, the guys who are saying, "Do you need an Uber? Do you need to say?" And I'll come over. I'm the one with the big mouth. I always go in and say, "Hey, you're not an Uber car. Get out of here. What do you mean? Who are you?" I said, "I'm the guy who's going to call the cop," and they take out the phone like I'm going to call the cop, and they run like rats. So, bleep Uber.
Uh-huh.
Listen, I mean, I'll tell you, it's so much stuff here, and the Uber thing with these. There's no ID on the cars, and these drivers. I don't even think these guys have licenses. I think their friend just gives them the car to run around at night with their phone for Uber, and there's no ID. There's no nothing, because some of these guys are just, you know, like when you see a rookie cab driver. He's got his hand like locked in at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and his eyes are wide open. It's just like terrified at the steering wheel.
Right.
That's what I see. Like most of the nighttime Uber guys are like that. Like going real slow, weaving all over the road, and it's a disaster. This is the Vision Zero that de Blasio was trying to help people safe with by letting unlicensed Uber drivers look at their cell phones while driving with a passenger on Broadway. That's what's going to keep us safe.
No.
No.
No. Let's see. Now, what else went on this week?
Well, Thanksgiving went on.
Yeah.
You were saying about the parade? I interrupted again. I'm sorry.
The parade, you know, I never liked to work on Thanksgiving. I used to work Thanksgiving mornings, and the parade always got in the way, and, you know, Some people, I like Thanksgiving. I've worked on Thanksgiving where late in the afternoon it gets very busy,
Yes, when everybody's going to dinner,
And it gets dark out at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and the streets are, like, deserted, like it's 3 o'clock in the morning, okay?
Right.
And I found, when I used to work at those hours that it was very busy. Okay, mm-hmm. It's the mornings that are difficult on Thanksgiving Day. Okay.
Well, there is there's a parade rush in the morning. There is a parade rush.
Right.
And then there's a parade break after the parade, and then people go to wherever they're going. So there's a window of about 4 or 5, 6 hours when it is in fact very busy.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, everybody goes to eat, and then everybody watches football, and everybody's tired, and they're sleeping.
Yeah, but it gets busy at night.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
It does. Okay.
Yeah.
People go out.
They go to the movies. They ride around. I don't know. They go places. I found Thanksgiving Day, if you work all day, slow in the morning, but you do get fierce to the parade. Okay. And when you get anywhere near the parade, you get gridlocked. Okay. Busy after the parade. People going to dinner. Very slow, when it gets dark out, like 4 or 5 o'clock, it slows down. But then around 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night or 11, it gets very busy. Okay. At least that's my experience, from years back. All right. Now.
Let's do some best. What was your best cab ride ever? Let me hear your best cab ride.
My best cab ride ever?
Yeah.
I had a fare to Schenectady, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, you're talking about money-wise, that was my best cab ride ever. Okay.
Schenectady? Where's Schenectady? Nobody knows where that is.
Well, it's just past Albany.
Oh, wow. That is a big ride.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Wow.
I took this guy and his girlfriend. He had just bought her this diamond ring. The diamond was on her finger, and he didn't want to go on the take the train from Grand Central because he was afraid he might get mugged with it. So he said, "Would you take us to Albany?" It was Sunday afternoon. I said, "Albany, New York?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah," and it was early in the day. Okay, it was only around 11:30, 12 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Okay, and by the time I got there, actually, it may have been a little later. It was about maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It took a good 4 hours to get there. Okay, and then coming back on the thruway on a Sunday night, the thruway was jammed. Okay.
Right.
I ran into a lot of traffic coming back, but I finally got back to Manhattan at 10 p.m. Right, and then I went back to work, for a couple of hours. I don't know if that's the best cab ride ever. I've gone places. I once went to Reading, Pennsylvania. Okay.
Right.
I can't recall it all. I've had some long rides, but. Mainly the best days are the days you just stay in Manhattan and the traffic's moving. Okay.
Right. I'm looking at this site here. It says USA Taxi Fare Calculator, and they're telling people that going from JFK to Port Washington is 19 miles, and that the taxi fare is $49, which is complete BS. So I don't know what's going on. And then they have Uber fare is. Oh, here we go. Uber X fare is $46. And then Uber XL fare is $73. So they have Uber X $3 cheaper and the taxi fare is $49. It's not $49.
Well they don't get it right in these apps and books. They don't know.
But these people swear by these crazy apps with the taxi fares, and it doesn't take into account that it's double the meter past the city line.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a war going on, bro. And I'm telling you, it's from all sides. And it's been an eye opener, especially with this little fiasco.
Okay, you're still ranting. Okay,
I know.
Turn rant off.
You thought I was finished?
No, turn rant off. Let's discuss a few other things. Okay.
It won't be easy.
I have a little note here. It says Uber hiring hookers.
Oh, how much?
well, they have a new policy that they're hiring criminals that were criminalized for soft offenses, you know, such as being hookers. Okay, it's in the news.
You and I have said for the last couple of years that Uber sucks. So I guess this is our proof.
Well, I can imagine a hooker driving a passenger around and thinking to herself, you know, why am I driving this guy for $40 when I can probably get $400 out of him? You know.
Yeah. are the hookers driving the Uber cars? Is this what's happening?
Yeah, I don't know of any instances where it's actually happening, but that's basically what it's saying in the news report that they've decided to hire soft criminals who have done their, you know, paid their dues and, you know, done their time or paid their fines, okay? And right. It specifically says things like hookers or people that committed minor offenses. Okay, now I guess being a hooker is a minor offense. Okay, it is legal in some places in the world, such as Nevada. It's legal. Okay, you know, but they have to be tested for venereal diseases. Okay,
for crabs.
Yeah, crabs. Whatever. You know, I mean, not that that's going to keep them from getting it. You know, I mean, you can't test them every day, right?
But why not?
I don't know. Okay.
That's what I would do. So every passenger for Uber should now be given a shot of penicillin before they get in.
Okay. Now there's another article that was out this weekend. This is more serious. Okay. It's about Medallion Financial, and you know their stock went from $18 in 2014. It went down to almost below $3 a share.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Oh, it's pretty bad for the stockholders. Okay. Or the ones
you
that
didn't. You got stock in them?
Huh?
You got stock in them?
No, not me. Okay. But Merstein, the owner of Medallion Financial, is saying all is well. He doesn't understand why his stock is so low. Foreclosures on taxi medallions are minimal, and they've been able to compensate for that. Okay? Uh-huh. And he expects brighter days ahead.
Don't we all? I'll tell you something about the brighter days ahead. I think some of these guys should have been thinking about brighter days ahead when this whole Uber thing started 2 or 3 years ago. And they were so smug and the medallion's $1 million and it's okay and blah blah blah. Now they have to fight, and I don't know if these guys are gonna fish or cut bait, but the fact of the matter is the yellow cab is doing better, and here's why. First of all, I don't know why it's $3 a share. I don't know what the intricacies are of that stock, but that's insane for it to go down that low, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But what a lot of people are doing, they've learned how to mix and match yellow cabs and Uber. They take an Uber when they're not drinking, they take a yellow cab when they are drinking. They take a yellow cab if it's sitting in front of a building. Like if they see a yellow cab online in front of a building, they'll cancel their Uber and run into the yellow cab. Like in London, the London cabbies line up. Like the yellow cabs historically have had to like drive like down the street and cruise. But now they'll see like if there's a line of yellow cabs for the metered rate, what do they want to pay double surge for? So these millennials who are the Uber junkies have learned how to play the yellow cab versus Uber game, like I said, with practice. So initially it was all Uber all the time, but now they're getting away from Uber because the credit card bills come in and it's like, why am I allowing myself to get clipped for double the rate if there's a cab right there? And they probably got shouted at by their bookkeepers in their companies as well.
Okay,
it is getting better. That's why I don't know why this stock is so low.
I'm looking at the stock chart for Medallion Financial. Okay, and on November 29th, 2013, it hit its peak at $17.74 a share. And If you go back to just the last 5 days, it got as low as $2.92. Okay, and that was on Friday, the 18th. Okay, it got as low as 2.92 at one point, and then after Murstein came out with that article in Cranes, it's going back up to $3 and got as high as 3.60 on Friday, and finished and closed at 3.52. Okay, I tell you, Mike, if I had a set, as they call it, okay, yeah, a set of bees, okay, right, I would take $20,000 and buy that stock.
Well, I mean, you don't want to get into that on the air, I don't think.
No, but I'm just saying, I can't afford to lose any money. I cannot afford to lose any money because my lease payments, have been cut in half since the uberectomy, but it hasn't been ectomized yet. Okay. I would take $1,000. I mean, for every dollar it goes up, you make $1,000. If you can buy 1,000 shares, you need $3,000, $3,500. Okay. And for every dollar.
It is out there. I mean, I should call the guy next week and say, listen, Booby, what's the story with this taxi stock? And see what their sales pitch is. I mean, who knows?
Maybe you could do that. I know you have personal, you personally know the guy, right?
I have a personal relationship with God, yes.
God. All right, what else I got here, to talk about? Let's talk about...
Apologies to Andy and to God. Yes.
Here's something you should never do, okay? This was in the news. It was in the New York Post. The taxi driver that was revoked for hitting a passenger. Okay, and the story is, I don't know if you read this story. The story is that several months ago, the taxi driver claims that he got into a little fender bender near Penn Station. Okay.
Right.
And that while he was out cursing out the other car driver, I believe it was another taxi, okay? While he was cursing the guy out, the passenger just got out and walked away without paying, okay?
Right.
And he went over to the passenger and hit him in the face.
Oh, Jesus.
He socked him in the face. So, considering that he actually did this, he got what he deserved. He got his license revoked. Okay.
Oh, he did. So he just like waltzed over and smacked the guy in the face.
Yeah. That's allegedly. Okay. I mean,
right.
The TLC of course believes the passenger whatever they say. Okay. All right.
Right.
I mean, none of us were there to see it. Okay. I don't know if there are any witnesses. Okay. I mean,
right.
In a real court of law, no witnesses. One guy's word against the other,
right.
They may have dismissed the charge, okay, with no witnesses.
This is what happens a lot, right? There's no witnesses. I mean, it's crazy.
I'm gonna assume that he actually did do this, or if nothing else, maybe grabbed the guy and shook him, or got into an altercation with him and pushed him, or not that he actually punched him in the face over a taxi fare, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world. The late Alan Decker once said to me,
right?
And this is, I didn't need him to tell me this, okay? But he once said to me, never chase somebody for money, okay? Like if I've had people run out of the taxi on me. Okay, many times. Not enough to make it really a serious problem. I mean, in 40-something years, I don't think it's happened more than a dozen times. Okay? The last thing you do, I remember a guy, first let me say, the last thing you do is get into a situation with them. You know, I once had a guy take me from Manhattan to Jamaica, somewhere on Jamaica Avenue, where there was a one of these buildings with a large, you know, inlet, you know, to get into the door, you know, and when we got there, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, right? I took him all the way from Manhattan, and the guy opens the door and says bye-bye to me and runs inside, right? Didn't give me 5 cents, right? There had to be, and you know, this day and age, that would be a $40 fare, no doubt about it, okay?
Exactly.
Right? But this was in, you know, I don't know, in the 1990s maybe. Okay, and at that time it was like $20-something, and I said to myself, oh, so that's what's going to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know, I could live with that, you know? I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And you know something? I drove up Hillside Avenue to Queens Boulevard, where Queens Boulevard begins, right? Made a right turn. Went, I think, past the entrance to all those highways there, you know, the Grand Central Parkway and the Van Wyck Expressway come together there, you know, on the right.
Right.
You know, as you're going up Queens Boulevard, crossed over and got a fare back into the city.
You're my man.
Okay. So, you know, so it's not like I lost anything, you know. I mean, maybe if he paid me the fare, I the timing wouldn't have been right for me to get that fear back into the city. But you know, let it go, folks. You know, if somebody runs out on you, let it go, because you don't know what you're getting yourself into by chasing after somebody for money. Okay.
Or and, as a very dear friend of mine who's an attorney once said, if you got $5,000 you don't need, get arrested in New York City. That'll take care of it right away.
Uh huh. Okay. All right, so what else we got, Mike? This is a
Well, just one thing, and I'm going to belabor the point. I went to another site, Taxi Fare Finder, and they're telling their people, as I'm looking at the site right now, that the trip from Kennedy Airport to Port Washington is, on the meter part of it, is $52, which is complete BS. Because at the metered rate of $2.50 a mile, they have it as 18.8 miles to Port Washington from Kennedy, of which 6 miles are double the meter. So that's another 15, because it's $5 a mile based on the last 6 miles.
What you're doing is you're still having the argument with this passenger.
Right.
Okay, the passenger isn't here to hear it. Okay?
No, but the rest of the world is here to hear it. And I'm going to tell the rest of the world right here and now, if you're listening to the show, it's the metered rate for the yellow cab at the regular city rate to the city line. And then for Nassau and Westchester, past the city line, it's double the meter. So they're looking at all these little taxi fare finder sites and stuff like that. And the taxi fare finder site makes a note that, oh, you know, trips beyond city limit may be under flat rate or have a portion of the trip, the city limit. No, but then they do the math. They're telling people basically it's the regular rate, which it is not. It's the regular rate to the city line around the city. And that's what I'm going
to
start.
You're listening to the Mike to the Mike Show, okay?
The Mike Show, damn right.
I think it's time for me to tell my robbery story, which we've been putting off for 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, because for the holidays.
Yeah,
holiday treat.
2 weeks ago we said we'll tell it next week, and last week we said we'll tell it next week. Okay.
Right. Okay. Well, here it is, folks. Special holiday treat.
Let me take a drink of water, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And here is my robbery story. Okay.
You need some Christmas music. You need some Christmas music in the back when you start the show.
Don't have any music. Okay.
No.
Well, nothing that's going to get that I could incorporate into the recording. It would take another. You know, I mean, I could play some music. Let me see here. Christmas music. Let me see. Let me see what I have on my computer here. Okay, Christmas. I got a lot of Christmas music. Okay, here we go. Let me see if you can hear this. If it comes out. Let me play one. Here we go.
Like deck the whole. Deck
greeting
the whole.
Cards have all been sent. The Christmas rush is through.
Melodic,
like
musical.
But I still have one wish to make. A special.
Okay, that's enough Christmas music. What do you think?
That was wonderful.
Okay, the robbery story. Okay, it happened in August of, I believe, 1985. Okay,
right.
It was a bright, sunny afternoon around 2 p.m. Okay, and I dropped off a fare on Park Avenue between 33rd and 32nd Street. I believe, or 33rd and 34th, not sure, on the southbound side of the street, okay? And before the door was closed, the assailants were in the car, okay?
Oh.
Okay. We're going to Baltic and Bond in Brooklyn. Who would have thought that?
Yay.
Who would have thought that these people were dangerous, okay? All right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, you know, during the week, you know, sunny, you know,
right.
And so I took him down, took him over to Brooklyn Bridge, okay, went to Baltic and Bond, which is not very far from the bridge, okay, and in broad daylight, I mean, there were people on the street. It was right next to this housing project there, I believe, okay.
Right.
And in broad daylight, the guy reaches over the. I didn't have a petition in the cab, okay? They weren't required in those days, all right? And he reaches over, puts one arm around my neck, and puts something pointy, felt like a knife, probably was, in on the other side of my neck and says, "Give me the money."
Please.
Okay, so I reached in my shirt pocket where I had about $80, and I just handed it to him, and I said, "Don't hurt me," I said to him,
right.
And he didn't hurt me, but he ordered me out of the taxi. Okay, he said, "Get out of the car," he said. Okay, and as I got out of the car, my knee must have hit the trunk release, okay, because the trunk came open, right? But I got out of the car. And him and his buddy, whoever the guy that he was with, drove away. Okay? And
right.
there I was standing on the corner of Baltic and Bond, and I reached in my pocket, and I had exactly one penny. That was all the money I had. Right?
Jesus.
And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to get home? Right? I was like in shock. Right? When all of a sudden, some guy with a tow truck pulls up and says, "Get in. My buddy's chasing him. We saw the whole thing."
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I get in this tow truck with this guy, and he's looking for his buddy, you know, wherever he went to chase him. And after about 10 or 15 minutes of riding around, you know, and not finding him, I said to the guy, "Listen, take me to the police station." You know? So that he did. He took me to the police station. And as I walked in the door, some woman police officer says, "Oh, here's the cab driver." They had already recovered the car. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, they had already recovered the car, and the way they recovered it was when the guy realized he was being chased, he abandoned the car. Okay.
And, what a genius.
To this day, I'm not sure exactly how the police got their hands on it. Probably the guy in the tow truck called them. Okay. And, and they bring me inside and they ask me, "Would you like to look at some photos?" So I said, okay. So they pull out this, wad of photos of people that may have looked like him. Okay.
Mm.
Right. And I start going through the photos, and I'm saying, could be him. It could be him. Maybe it's him. And I said, but I'm not sure. I didn't get a good look at him. I told the cop, you know, there's a detective I'm talking to. And he says, well, you have to be sure. He said, you have to be positive. Right. And I said to him, well, then you better let me go because I have no way of knowing. You know, I didn't get a good look at him, and I'm not going to be able to tell you from looking at photographs, right?
Right.
So here's the killer of the story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was managing two taxis, mine and we had two taxis that we were managing, okay? My brother was involved and another partner, okay? And
right.
I had picked up money from all the drivers that morning, okay?
Right.
And the money was in my bag, which I had on the front seat. I used to have a bag that I carried with me. And as I'm walking out, one of the cops said to me, is this your bag? And I said, yeah. And he handed it to me, and I zipped it open, and I pulled out a wad of money, like about 4 inches thick, right? And I looked at the cop, and I said, that schmuck. I said, you know, I mean, he could have had all this money, and, and all he got was about $70 or $80 from what was in my pocket. And the cop had this look on his face, like, he could have had all the money?
Yeah.
Well, I think the cop was thinking he could have had all the money. Right?
Right. Yeah. Time, folks.
There was about $900 in that pile. Okay?
Holy mackerel. Well, I just want to say any crackheads or drug addicts robbing cabbies now, much to both of our chagrin, there's not that much cash in cash because a lot of it is credit card money. So I just want to give everybody a little heads up on that before they go out and start robbing cabbies.
Okay. All right, Mike. What else? Go ahead.
That was the only time you got robbed?
Yeah, that was the only time I got what they would call a robbery. Okay, I've had several what they call larcenies, and that's
right.
And that's where they steal something from you. Actually, you know, I got robbed in ways that don't qualify for robbery, where somebody just grabs the money out of my hand and runs, you know, while I'm giving change.
Right.
Okay, or one time I was on Bedford Avenue, just south of Williamsburg. I hadn't quite reached Williamsburg yet. Okay, I was somewhere between Flushing Avenue, or just before Flushing Avenue, maybe. Somewhere between Fulton Street and Flushing Avenue, on a sunny afternoon, Sunday, and somebody rode by in a bicycle and reached in and grabbed the money out of my pocket. In my shirt pocket.
Wow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if you would call that a robbery. Okay, because there was no threat of violence. Okay, I believe in order to call it a robbery, there has to be a threat of violence. Okay, and people have stolen things out of the car, you know, over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is New York. I mean, this is the way it was, you know, before Giuliani took over and put all these people in concentration camps. You know,
and threw them in jail, thank God.
Yeah, and Bloomberg, you know, as much as I love Bloomberg, he kept them in the concentration camps. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I say this, you know, jokingly, because I don't know if there were any concentration camps, but we never could figure out.
For crackheads and cab robbers.
Right. We never could figure out just where Giuliani put all the hookers that were on 9th Avenue, 10th Avenue, 11th Avenue, and 12th Avenue. Okay.
I'll tell you off the air where I think he put them.
Well, okay. All right. I'd like to know. I've been asking that question for years. Okay. But it appears that a lot of this has returned to New York. Has it or has it not?
Oh, they're on the way. I'd tell you, that's the story for next week. I think we're running out of showtime. But
yeah.
No, it's for some reason they've rolled out the red carpet for every crackhead, psycho and whack job from out of town. Not even like our people, but from out of the city. And we have other cities busing in their weirdos into New York for reasons that only de Blasio knows. So I don't know what's going on. And I can tell you a couple of tales of woe, but people are starting to notice this. And it's just a very weird vibe in the city. There's no reason for de Blasio to do this other than some a political agenda to nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's doing it. Anyway, my voice is running out, and I think we're like...
Yeah, I just want to say that you put up the message on the message board this week with which showed the 1970s as compared to today in New York.
Right.
You know, and
right.
You know, and the time I'm talking about is the Travis Bickle era.
The good old Travis Bickle days of yesterday.
Yeah, and everybody knows Travis Bickle was Robert De Niro playing in Taxi Driver. Okay.
Yeah, he's not a big Trump supporter, that's for sure.
Well, no, I understand that. Okay, so Mike, stay on the line because I want to hear what you don't want to tell me on the air about what he did with all the hookers. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So say goodbye to New York.
Goodbye to New York.
And say goodbye to the rest of the world.
Goodbye to the rest of the world.
Okay. And I say goodbye too. And thank you for listening to the Mike and Abe Show. And we will be back 1 week from today, hopefully, with another one.
See you next week, folks.
Okay. Bye.